Okay, we're going to begin our city council meeting. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams. Leonard.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Sten.
Here.
Potter.
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to city council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. Before we begin the communications side of this, this is Commissioner Eric Sten's last council meeting, and I wanted to, I've issued a proclamation that I'd like to read, and then we'll go to communications, which are all people that are signed up to say goodbye to Commissioner Sten. Whereas Portland has a tradition of honoring its leaders who devote their lives to working for the betterment of the community, and whereas few Portlanders have shown as much dedication and commitment to the greater public good as Eric Sten, and whereas Eric Sten has served the people of Portland as a city commissioner for more than 12 years, and whereas commissioner in charge of the Bureau of Housing and Community Development, Eric Sten led council on many housing and homeless issues, including launching the 10-year plan to end homelessness, creating a comprehensive housing preservation program, working with community partners to develop thousands of affordable housing units, developing a regional housing strategy and working to close the minority home ownership gap, securing a 30% tax increment financing set aside for affordable housing, and hosting five successful Project Homeless Connect events. And whereas Eric Sten championed many environmental issues, including leading the city's response to the Endangered Species Act, remapping the Johnson Creek floodplain, working with other council members to brand Portland as a green economy leader and partnering with Multnomah County to advocate a local action plan on global warming. Whereas commissioner in charge of the Water Bureau, Eric Sten led the effort to pass congressional legislation, the Little Sandy Watershed Protection Act, to protect the Bull Run watershed from logging and work tirelessly to keep water rates low. And as commissioner in charge of the Fire Bureau, Eric Sten created a five-year strategic plan for the Bureau, worked to make the Bureau more diverse, developed a new approach to deployment in order to speed up response time, and oversaw the seismic retrofitting of five fire stations. And Eric Sten sponsored Portland's resolution against the war in Iraq, sending a strong signal to the federal government that the city does not support a failed policy resulting in the deaths of thousands of Americans, Iraqis, and others from around the world. And whereas Eric Sten, this is kind of long, folks, so hang with me. Whereas Eric Sten championed the city's voter-owned election system, opening City Hall to candidates previously unable to run for office, and whereas Eric Sten created and developed the Schools Families Housing Initiative, which is taking a holistic approach towards supporting the needs of school-age children in Portland, and whereas Eric Sten spearheaded efforts to establish satellite urban renewal districts and more equitable distribution of the city's financial resources, and the list of Eric Sten's many accomplishments cannot be articulated in such a short document, and that this proclamation serves as a reminder to some, but not all, of his great work on behalf of the city of Portland. Eric Sten leaves a legacy that will not easily be forgotten by his colleagues on city council, city staff, and members of the community. Now, therefore, I, Tom Potter, mayor of the city of Portland, Oregon, the city of roses, do hereby proclaim April 2nd, 2008, as official day of appreciation for Commissioner Eric Sten, and in Portland, I encourage all residents to observe this day.
Well, Mayor, I'm rarely speechless, as my colleagues know, but I'm just about there. So I think I will just say thanks that I've had a great chance to talk with people. It's after 17 years in the building, it's become the moment that I've realized it's time for me to make way in the seat, which I've been in the longest of anyone, for some new talent and that next round of energy. I did want to, before I forget, and while I've got the mic, which won't be for long, thank my wife, Marnie, who's, I mean, all of you know, I think, and could not be here this morning, but has basically been there every second and probably had to endure all the difficulties of public life and not always all of the accolades like I have. And so thank you, Marnie. I appreciate it. And I also wanted to acknowledge and thank Commissioner Gretchen Cafori, who I succeeded as housing commissioner. And both she and I have talked and are actually very excited actually to see the next housing commissioner. It's been actually an unprecedented run between the two of us. That's the office I came from. And I truly believe, and I would end by saying that all the problems that I've worked on, this community has the capacity within itself to actually solve. And I would just urge people to keep up the fight and every second they can try and find a ways to put our differences aside, because the only thing that holds Portland back on any of these issues is arguments amongst ourselves, and we can solve these. So thank you so much, Mayor Potter.
Carla, please read the first communication to come up.
403, request of Amanda Fritz to address council regarding thanking Commissioner Sten for his service to Portland and Portlanders.
Good morning. I'm Amanda Fritz, speaking only for myself. And I'm going to look this way. It's very difficult to look over to that side. I think I represent many of the citizens and neighbors of Portland who are grateful to you for your service to Portland over so many years. I personally appreciate your responsiveness and that of your staff whenever I have had questions or concerns. Your office has answered quickly and thoughtfully. I particularly remember your actions when the council considered the skinny lots issue several years ago. It's a zoning code issue, the details of which are too complicated to go into now and which were almost too complicated to go into then. But you listened, you realized you had made a mistake in your vote, and you brought the matter back to council and made the necessary corrections. And that is rare leadership, and I greatly appreciate it. But perhaps most of all, thank you for being the leader in adopting public campaign financing and for using it as an incumbent. Public campaign financing is revolutionary, and the money that council and the Portland's taxpayers provide gives the citizens of Portland the opportunity to elect new council members who don't even think about having to ask for big money campaign donations. The taxpayers of Portland have made a great investment in purifying our election process, and you have been a notable leader in that. Public campaign financing is only one component of moving to voter-owned elections, but it is a vital cornerstone, and I thank you for the role that you have played in establishing it. The salmon-colored flowers there are actually for your wife to thank her, because it is a grateful public who realizes that it's a team effort when you're in a family and have to do all the things that you do. And the salmon color is to remind us all about your work for the environment and all the things that you've done for the Endangered Species Act, the Clean Water Act, and other things in environmental services. So thank you for all your work.
No, thank you, Amanda. I really appreciate it.
Please read the next.
404, request of Patrick Nolan to address council regarding thanking Commissioner Sten for his service to Portland's homeless communities.
Please state your name when you speak, and you have 3 minutes.
Mayor Potter, commissioners, my name is Patrick Nolan. I represent Sisters of the Road. When I decided to come speak today, I wanted to bring a gift of some sort to Eric, but I was unsure what to bring. I asked Sisters co-founder Jenny Nelson, and she recommended our book. My reply was, I think I've already given him one, Jenny. Her reply was very logical and very much along the lines of what you would expect from her. He's retiring, and he'll have a better chance to read it now. The book sat on the corner of my desk for about a week or so, and an amazing thing happened. A person would walk by and say, where's the book going? And I would tell them it was for Eric Sten, and he's retiring. And they would ask to sign it. I've not counted, but I believe there are around 100 signatures in the book. Customers, staff, board, volunteers, and friends of Sisters of the Road, all wanting to wish you well in whatever it is you choose to do after this. As a staff member of a local nonprofit, I should be saying something about how you've directly affected my community. Whether it be Dignity Village, the 10-year plan, or recently the Day Access Center, you have always been there looking to see what was needed to be done, and we appreciate that. Instead of taking my time to talk about that, though, which I'm sure others have already done and will do, I would like to speak about how you've personally affected my life. When I first visited City Hall, I was here to drop off a very important book called Without Housing, which was put out by the Western Regional Advocacy Project. You were the only city council member I saw that day, and then only in passing. The other person that I came with that day spoke all the way back about to the cafe about it. It was like seeing Elvis, but a bit different. The first few times I testified before city council, I was terrified. I'm not by nature a public speaker. Even though you don't know it, you helped me through that. I could sit and look at you and have my conversation directly with you and pretend there were not 80 people behind me listening. It helped me through that period where I was nervous, and I thank you for that. When the Day Access Center was the rage of Old Town Chinatown, I came to hear you speak at the Sally McCracken. I'm not sure if you remember that, but it was. I listened, like everyone else, and was amazed at what happened. When you arrived, the room was tense and nervous. By the time you left, it was, although still a divided room, it was one that was at least thinking about the options. It was probably the best speech I'd heard given to that date. Since then, I went to Barack Obama's rally, which changed that a bit, but it was still a very good speech. Eric, I want to thank you for your time, and thank you as well, Mayor and Commissioners.
Thank you, Patrick. I appreciate it.
Next. 405, request of Susan Emmons to address Council regarding thanking Commissioner Sten for his exemplary service to seniors in Portland.
My name is Susan Emmons. I'm the director of Northwest Pilot Project, and I'm speaking on behalf of thousands of seniors who are in housing because of Eric. I get asked to do a lot of speaking in the community, large and small groups, and this is a true story. I was at St. James Lutheran Church in January, right after Eric made his announcement, and to speak about affordable housing. They hadn't explained to me the room I was in. I gave a talk. I thought there'd be a lot of questions, and what was on people's mind is, what are we going to do without Eric? That was the big question. And they hadn't explained to me that they put me in a room between services. So I said, I have to say, really and truly, I'm not worried about that. He's provided great leadership, but I think one of the things Eric's done as a leader is to create a culture where we now all understand and agree we have to build this housing and we can do it. And the choir was rehearsing above me, and just as I made that statement, there was this hallelujah. And that is a true story. And everybody, even up on high. And so I hope they bought it, but I do believe that. The seniors, in preparing for today, they said, be sure to list every single building that Eric's had a hand in. And I said, no, can't be done. But I want to tell one story about before Eric was a city commissioner, 1993, on Gretchen's staff. We had just lost the Hamilton. It was the spring of 1993. We lost 194 units, moved people out of the Hamilton and Lounsdale. We were preparing to move 110 out of the Broadway for a remodel that became the Swindells. And we learned that the St. Francis was in jeopardy, 132 units. And a member of my board, Preston Holt, who is a retired realtor, and I, he had talked to the elderly owner who was going to sell to somebody who wasn't going to keep it as housing, somebody from out of the country. We took Eric to lunch to talk about it. And before we even got the menus, 5 minutes, Eric said, I get it. You're right. We're going to save this building. And we were both so impressed. At that time, in today's dollars, I don't think it would have seemed like a lot of money, but it was big dollars in those days, 132 units preserved. And the business people on my board said, we've never seen the city move this quickly on anything. It was impressive. And I think that's characterized Eric's ability to just get things so quickly, understand them, and come up with a solution and figure out who are all the partners that need to be involved. So I'm going to end just by mentioning a few of the buildings: the St. Francis, 132 units, the Taft, 2003, 80 units, Station Place Tower, 176, 333 Southwest Oak, 90 units, Clay Tower, now the Roschnitzer Tower, 235 units, just a fraction of what's been done in Portland. And we have a little hat. We have a tradition of hats in our organization. And maybe this is one for your son, but bright light
for your next big picture assignment.
Whoa. He's calling it.
He goes to Vegas with you.
406, request of Leslie Nsinga to address council regarding thanking Commissioner Stan for his service to the community.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Leslie Nsinga. I'm a single mother, a concerned citizen, and a community builder that works for the Housing Authority for the New Columbia Development. I've been with the Housing Authority for 5 years as a part of New Columbia, and it's been an amazing run, and I feel honored to have played and continue to play a part in the family's lives during such a transition, adjustment, readjustment, and the increased flexibility that has to go on as a part of New Columbia. Of the many things that I've learned or relearned on both a professional and a personal level, it's the vital importance of shelter. I've learned personally the threat of homelessness as a result of time limits in a domestic violence shelter when I fled my marriage. Probably one of the most stressful times that I've ever imagined in my life. Well, that was 7 years ago. And I rebuilt my life, and as of November, I acquired a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house in a northeast neighborhood. Am I happy about my purchase? Yes, I'm ecstatic. But I'm also equally concerned because of a gentrifying neighborhood and the fear that my income may not increase at the pace of increased property taxes as my neighborhood continues to shift. I've relearned in my professional realm about the importance of shelter as I was positioned as the resident and community liaison to encourage and cajole members of one of the most vulnerable segments of the population to question, to challenge, to work with, and trust in the process of relocation out of Columbia Villa when the Housing Authority received its Hope 6 funding. And I want to say thank you, Eric, for championing the city's support for New Columbia. I was a part of the team that asked families to leave the anchors of their community and the place that both they and I called home, Columbia Villa. A community, by the way, that has carried the scars of a past unresolved for entirely too long and whose ghost unjustifiably, consciously or subconsciously, still haunts the community's perceptions of New Columbia. Just let it be. There were lessons that were learned and many positive and innovative things that emerged from those tragedies that were employed and as a result have been replicated across the country. Yet blood continues to spill in other parts of this city and throughout this country for the same reasons that made Columbia Villa an urban legend. Columbia Villa wasn't a standalone. It was a wake-up call. The media's focus should be on how community supported community and how a community was revitalized and how it survived. It was the epitome of community building whereby members engaged and relied on each other to create change. Give New Columbia a chance. And now that New Columbia is fully occupied with close to 3,000 inhabitants that rent their homes and own their homes, I've come to realize that shelter has differing relativity based on personal experiences, individual perspectives, and an investment that's very personal according to which community member you talk to. Thank you, Eric, for supporting the possibility that people can live together, and whether your means are average, above average, or below average, that people engaged in their community can still determine and influence the success of their neighborhoods, and that money matters, but that's not all that matters. So the basic component of someone to get it begins with the premise that shelter is a need, and that need exists regardless of race, sex, class, income, sexual orientation, or the ability or disability that you may have. And you, Eric Stan, are someone that gets it. You've worked to address homelessness and to keep affordable housing at the forefront of conversations in this city. You've spoken truths that many utter behind closed doors, but are concepts that may need to be heard out loud and in the open to get people's heads around it. Sometimes it matters who the messenger is. Your advocacy around affordable housing in the marketplace where the chasm continues to widen as millions fight to keep or get a roof over their heads is a common sense approach. And I say that because all sense is not common. You seem to understand that housing is a part of a social accountability that maintains social stability, family cohesiveness, and economic stability, among other things. I'm glad that you have, as equitably as your power would allow, continued to move the agenda ahead. In this arena, I say, job well done, my friend. I wish you continued success and peace in whatever your next endeavors may be. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Request of Cecilia Strauss to address council regarding thanking Commissioner Sten for his hard work and support of New Columbia. Cecilia is not able to make it today.
Okay. We do have one additional person who wished to speak, Ed Blackburn.
Thank you, Mayor Potter. I'm Ed Blackburn. I'm Deputy Director of Central City Concern. The resolution and the previous speakers have said it all, except that I want to talk a little about your leadership in the 10-year plan to end homelessness, which it was a very audacious thing to do. I think when this was first being discussed, there was a lot of skeptics out there that this was public relations, this was going nowhere. I know you had strong support from the mayor and your fellow commissioners, but that was one of the most audacious things I've seen. And although other jurisdictions have adopted 10-year plans because of your leadership, Portland is now seen across this country, including Canada, as the city that actually made it happen, that we actually saw significant decreases in both chronic homelessness and homelessness. I want to talk specifically about your work with the Recovery Association Project, and that was an advocacy group of people in recovery from addictions. You met with them, I believe it was in 2002, a group of about 100 people, and they made their case to you about the importance of supportive housing and how important it was for them to facilitate the transition in their lives. You listened and you made a promise to them that you would increase the capacity for supportive housing for people with addictions. And you did. You followed through with that promise. And a year later, we had funding in place for 8th Northwest 8th building, which is now a national model for housing for people with addictions. Thousands of people have gotten their lives back together, have reunited with their families, have gotten jobs, are now functioning tax-paying citizens. But more than that, your efforts over the years have resulted in thousands of people ending their homelessness, even before the 10-year plan. And how that has helped heal our community has had an incredible impact. But because of the reputation that Portland has gained, as you know, staff at BHCD are constantly being asked to go around the country to present the case on how we did this. I am actually also asked, Richard Harris from Central City Concern is constantly traipsing around. There are probably other people in the audience that get these calls incessantly from other cities and places around the country. And it certainly uplifts our feeling about what we've accomplished here. But it has occurred to me that I know up until now you've been a very busy guy. And as much as I like to help with these calls, I would propose that we now start referring these calls to you since you're going to have a lot of time on your hands. Thanks for all the work, and on behalf of all these people that aren't here today, their lives have been changed dramatically. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ed.
We move to the consent agenda.
Thank you, everyone. I really appreciate it.
Do any commissioners wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Does anybody in this room wish to pull any particular item from this consent agenda? Please call the vote.
We have Commissioner Saltzman's office for 426.
426?
Yep. The marina for making an emergency.
Oh, yeah. We want to put it on the regular agenda and remove the emergency clause?
Right.
426. Sorry about
426.
That.
426.
Any other? Please call a vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read the 9:30 time certain.
Item 408, authorized license agreement with the Portland Classical Chinese Garden to operate and manage the Classical Chinese Garden.
Commissioner Saltzman?
I think we wanted to read the 408 through 411 together.
Okay.
That's all right.
409, authorized lease agreement with the Leech Garden Friends to operate and manage the Leech Botanical Garden. 410, authorized lease agreement with the Pittock Mansion Society to operate and manage the Pittock Mansion. 411, authorize a release and satisfaction of agreement to release the City of Portland, Portland Development Commission, and the Portland Classical Chinese Garden from obligations of a previous management agreement for the Classical Chinese Garden.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. We're here this morning seeking council approval for license agreements with the Classical Chinese Garden, Leech Botanical Garden, and the Pittock Mansion. These three organizations provide the energy and operations expertise and institutional knowledge for some of Portland's most unique, treasured public properties. The Classical Chinese Garden is one of only five Classical Chinese Gardens in America. It inspires and educates our global community in the appreciation of a richly authentic Chinese culture. The garden has also had a tremendous economic and tourism impact on our city. Of the 120,000 visitors who pass through the gates every year, 80% of those come from beyond Oregon and Washington. The garden's success has also led to a resurgence of economic growth and development in Old Town Chinatown. The garden has served to revitalize and bring prominence to Portland's core. And now with the addition of the festival streets and the Autumn Festival, which drew 35,000 people in its first year, the future is looking bright. Celebrating its 25th anniversary, Leech Botanical Garden provides a very different type of garden experience. If the Classical Chinese Garden is an oasis in the heart of the city, Leech offers a respite away from the urban environment. Tucked into a woodland carved out by Johnson Creek in Outer East Portland, Leech Botanical Garden is dedicated to preserving and educating the public about its collection of more than 2,000 plants, including many Northwest native plants. And it's also important to note that the garden is also a wonderful natural area that serves countless local residents in this park-deficient area of our city. The historic Pittock Mansion is a Portland historical landmark for over 40 years, certainly. It draws over 50,000 visitors every year. Visitors who tour the house and grounds experience a living museum where Portlanders and visitors alike see firsthand the history of our city. I'm especially thankful that over the past 2 years, the board and the staff of Pittock Mansion responded with tremendous energy and purpose to the city's council's challenge to take over more of the responsibility for operations and programs at the mansion. And they have risen to that challenge, expanding the institution's fundraising efforts while at the same time increasing attendance and outreach to the community. And so, with these three wonderful institutions poised for the future, I urge Council's adoption of these license agreements. We have here with us today Karen Young, the Executive Director of Leech Botanical Garden, Randy Stevens, Board President of the Pittock Mansion Society, and Gloria Lee, Executive Director of the Portland Classical Chinese Garden. If you would care to come up here and make any remarks, you're more than welcome to.
Hi, Randy. Mayor Potter and Commissioners, Commissioner Salzman. I'm Gloria Lee. I'm the executive director of the Portland Classical Chinese Garden, and maybe I've been here a little too often. But best wishes, Commissioner Sten, and thank you very much for handling a very divisive issue for our community very well. In the 8 years since the opening of the garden, it has been my pleasure to lead the garden in fulfilling its mission of being a cultural heritage destination, a living museum of over 500 species of plants indigenous to China, and perhaps most importantly, our educational mission to bring cultural understanding of China to public schools throughout the state of Oregon. Through grant funding from 9 local foundations and garden donors, we have traveled to over 20 counties of the 36 counties in the state of Oregon, delivering Chinese culture programs to over 20,000 students to date. We have conducted teacher workshops and provided public programs to libraries and workplaces on Chinese culture. In so doing, we have bridged not only the East Wes, but also rural and urban environments. This project will end in January of 2010, by which time we will have reached all 36 counties in Oregon, and it's been a huge geographical lesson for all of us at the Garden. Our goal in the coming year is to be able to produce and procure adequate underwriting to offer free admission to the many in our community who have not experienced China via the classical Chinese garden. We are currently working with Portland Parks and Recreation to ensure that as Portland grows, so will the garden's capacity to adequately serve the community. Thank you for your vision and support in building this world-class garden.
I'm Karen Young, Executive Director of Leech Botanical Garden, and I'd like to thank you for allowing me some time to speak on behalf of the garden. I'd like to thank the council for showing its support and commitment to Portland Parks with the recent approval of SDC funding. And I'd like to thank you, Commissioner Sten, for your work on the council and for your efforts on behalf of East Portland and, in particular, David Douglas School District. And I hope you'll remain an advocate, and I wish you the best in your future endeavors. Perhaps volunteer service at the garden.
Thank you.
To add to Commissioner Saltzman's comments on Leech Botanical Garden, I'd like to say that the garden has been fortunate over the 25 years of the Leech Garden Friends Group's existence to have a very committed and hardworking pool of volunteers. This past year alone, over 120 volunteers donated over 12,000 hours of service to the garden. While many people view Leech Botanical Garden as being isolated in a poor location and away from the mainstream, I see us as having the best of both worlds. I think we're in a very strategic location. For one, the garden is located on Johnson Creek. With the increasing knowledge of the environmental importance of watersheds, the garden is becoming a key site for watershed studies. We've partnered with Johnson Creek Watershed Council, with the Bureau of Environmental Services on riparian projects. PSU has reserved the garden for environmental classes for the next 3 years. The interest in these types of studies is growing and expanding rapidly, and Leech Botanical Garden has a great potential to fill this need. Two, with our additional and as yet undeveloped acreage, we have the possibility through our current master planning process to truly develop the garden as a unique demonstration site for sustainability. We already have a compost demonstration site that was created with support from Metro. The OSU Extension Service Master Gardener Program is interested in using the garden as a demonstration site for sustainable gardening. We are partnering with Zenger Farm for collaborative education programs, and Portland Parks is helping expand our children's environmental education programs and tours. The Leech has wanted the manor house at the garden to be used as a museum. That potential has not even been tapped as yet and would provide a much-needed cultural and historical attraction in southeast Portland. The garden is already much respected internationally for its seed exchange program and collections, and we do attract visitors from all over the world. Locally, with the rapid growth and increasing ethnic diversity in southeast Portland, with 46 different languages being spoken in David Douglas School District alone, I feel we have a great opportunity, and more than that, a responsibility to involve our local community, and especially the children, in the programs and the enjoyment of the garden. Outer Southeast is fast becoming part of the core of Portland. In a word, potential. I feel the potential for the garden is huge. Resources at this point are rather meager, but the staff and volunteers are well invested in this garden. We are ready to take the garden to another level. All we need is the support to help us get there. Thank you for your time. And I hope that you will attend our open house this Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. at the garden.
Mr. Mayor and council members, my name is Randall Stevens. I am the president of the board of directors of the Pittock Mansion Society. Thank you for allowing me time to make a few comments this morning on the agreement in front of you today. 2 years ago, the city, through Portland Parks and Recreation, approached the society about changing its role at the Pittock Mansion. As Commissioner Salzman mentioned, the City Council challenged the Society to take over more of the responsibility for operations and programs at the mansion. After much debate, the Board of Directors of the Society voted to expand on the City's proposal and offered to take over the management of the entire operations of the mansion. Under the proposal, the City and the Society would become partners in operating the Pittock Mansion. The Society entered into negotiations with the City and began to build a master operating agreement. In the 2 years that have elapsed since starting to build the agreement, we found Portland Parks to be a willing partner in crafting an operating agreement that provides the Society with the confidence and flexibility to operate the mansion in a manner that benefits a wide variety of Oregonians and Oregon visitors. Portland Parks never wavered from its responsibility to city residents to preserve the mansion and its contents. The core principles of preservation and continuity drive much of the agreement you have before you today. In July of last year, after agreeing in principle to the master operating agreement, the Society began to operate the mansion, working closely with Parks to maintain the quality experience mansion visitors have come to expect. Since that time, the Society has modernized the administrative infrastructure, added to the operating staff, and remodeled the Pittock Mansion Museum store. This past holiday season, the mansion nearly set a record for the number of visitors who braved the cold to view the mansion holiday exhibit. None of that would have been possible without the close cooperation of the city through Portland Parks and Recreation. Lisa Turple, Michelle Harper, and Parks staff have worked tirelessly to help the Society transition from a friends group to a working partner fully responsible for mansion operations. We look forward to continuing our strong partnership with Portland Parks and Recreation in operating the Pittock Mansion. I'd like to invite the mayor and each of the commissioners to tour the mansion and see the changes for yourselves. From within the Society, several members of the board rose to the challenge and spearheaded the effort to develop the agreement in front of you today. I want to thank Barbara Dalby McKee and Greg Fulham for the countless hours they devoted to the effort. The Board of Directors of the Pittock Mansion Society unanimously approved the master operating agreement before you today, and I urge you to approve it as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Was there a sign-up sheet for these four?
There was, and no one else signed up.
Okay. These four items are non-emergency and move to a second reading. Please read the 9:45 time certain.
Item 412, recognize the extraordinary commitment and dedication of Native American Youth and Family Center, the Bank of the West, the Housing Development Center, Income Property Management Company, Portland Development Commission, and Bureau of Housing and Community Development in their combined efforts to preserve critically needed affordable rental housing for dozens of low-income families.
Commissioner Stan?
Thanks, Mayor. We just actually wanted to thank a team that did some very difficult work in timely fashion and accomplished something very important. I think probably everybody knows that Portland, or maybe not, is the ninth largest Native American community in this country and has a great community, a great sense of pride, and all sorts of things and richness that are here because of that. We may not also remember always that of the 38,000 Native Americans that are in Portland, about 50% of them live at 200% of the poverty rate or below. And so housing is a real crisis in the Native American community, and as we've talked a lot about today, it's integral to people's success. We had a group that had done a great job of developing affordable housing and ended up running into some hard times, and we were just about to lose some significant housing units, and everybody knows Nicole Mayer, and NAIA stepped in and figured out a way to build some housing capacity where none was and to preserve this housing. And so we really wanted to thank today the team that did this, and particularly also Bank of the West, who I believe is here as well, who really stepped in. And sometimes you hear people saying what financial institutions are not doing. In this case, Bank of the West stepped in and helped us figure out how to do this. So we wanted to thank NAIA, Bank of the West, the Housing Development Center, Income Property Management Company, PDC, and the Bureau of Housing and Community Development. So as I go, it's also very clear that there's a strong team in place, and here's three of the members. So let me introduce Will White, Nicole, and Andy Wilch to tell the story to the council.
Thank you very much. I'm Will White, Director of the City's Bureau of Housing and Community Development. It's very fitting that we're here on Eric's last day as a commissioner to recognize this important accomplishment that really stems back more than 15 years. When I first began working here in 1993 at the Housing Development Center, I was involved in the development of these housing properties that were developed with the intention of being owned and managed by the Native American community of Portland and available to that community and others here in the city of Portland. And now we've had to take the important step of finding a long-term owner and manager of those properties, and the Native American Youth Association has stepped up to take that role, and I'm just here to help acknowledge on behalf of the city, and in addition to the folks at PDC and our bureau, Nicole Maher and Ray Espana, particularly at NEA, Jeff Reingold at IPM, NY Bargain at Bank of the West, and others at the Housing Development Center that have helped to bring this about. So we're excited to know we'll be preserving some 44 units of housing through this transfer that will be managed in the future by Sawash, which is the Chinook language way of saying native housing, and that is indeed what this is intended to do and has been from its inception. This property also supports the 10-year plan to end homelessness because it includes 7 units of permanent supportive housing. That is particularly important since there is a very high incidence of homelessness in the Native American community in greater proportion than any other ethnic group in our city. At present, the statistics tell us that 25% of Native American families earn less than $10,000 a year, and another 25% earn less than $25,000 a year. So this is really important to provide this fundamental affordable housing for these families, and we're excited to work with NEA Family Center as it takes on this role. And the city is here to continue to support the building of capacity in this new housing organization, and we look forward to its success over at least the next 7 generations.
Good morning. Andy Wilch, Director of Housing, Portland Development Commission. I don't want to go into a lengthy presentation. I'm sure you probably don't want me to either, other than to suggest that the culmination here today and the closing of the transfer of the portfolio to the NEA organization is something that obviously did not happen overnight. Many, many years of hard work. And I think, in essence, the ultimate goal that we all had all along was to ensure that these 44 units of housing were indeed in the hands of a community organization that could adequately commit to representing their community members. And we think we've accomplished that. From a PDC perspective, working with the city authorized the investment of over $1.6 million into the preservation. The city also, by preserving this housing, has ensured that there are family units. All the units are 2 bedrooms and larger, sustainability, substantial rehab. And I think, as Will White mentioned, the city investment in the organization led by Nicole Maher is an investment for the long term, and we're committed to that. Let me take a moment, if I might, to congratulate Nicole and her board. I was at had an opportunity last week to go to a honoring ceremony at the invitation of Nicole, and it was a very, very rewarding evening for me. Thank you. And I found that the community support for NEA is immense. The community respect for NEA is immense. And, of course, the community respect for itself, honoring their elders, is a really rewarding and kind and continuous cultural kind of benefit. And so I was moved by that. Let me mention a couple of the PDC staff members really quickly that worked very, very hard, selflessly, to make sure, not to try, but to make sure that this happened. John Marshall was the project manager for PDC. He underwrote it. He negotiated it. He stuck with it. He worked with the lenders. He was the intermediary that really brought all these pieces together. And even when we were at times finding a really, really arduous path to our successful goal, John stuck with it. Comey Calavore working with John. Our legal team in PDC, Matt Baines, Michael Greiser, working tirelessly to ensure that this property did not go into foreclosure, that this property stayed available under the control of PDC as the agent of the city, to make sure that we could work out the details and the variables to ensure that it stayed in the hands of a quality community-based nonprofit. With that said, I will conclude my remarks by saying that the PDC Commission has charged me time and time again with ensuring that we are doing everything we can to preserve housing and preserve that housing in the hands of community-based nonprofits. This is another example, a particularly rewarding example for all of us, I might add, but another example of the work that we're doing on behalf of the city. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Nicole Maher. I'm a member of the Tlingit and Haida Central Council from Southeast Alaska, and I serve as the executive director of NEA Family Center. I'm really pleased to be here today. I think today is a special day in that it's a really fine example of when public and private partnership can come together and really be effective at holding an asset for the use of the community. Time and time again, at every community gathering in Portland on behalf of the Native community, housing and family stability is identified as the absolute highest priority. I've served as the executive director of NEA for the last 7 years, and we're very well known for our work with the community, for academic achievement, but the piece that a lot of people are not aware of is that in every element of every program that we do, housing and poverty are the real core issues. Our students struggle in school because their families are moving 2 and 3 times a year. Our clients have a difficult time accessing domestic violence services because of the housing-related issues. And so we're very, very excited to really be addressing the core and root causes. Equity issues continue to be a great, great challenge. Although we're 5% of the population and have the highest overrepresentation of poverty, our community only represents about 1% of the folks receiving low-income housing units and support in that way. So that's really, really important to recognize, and really there's an important need to honor and recognize the public institutions that are working towards this equity issue. I really want to give appreciation, and I'm glad that Andy and Will called out some specific staff members, because this has been a long process, and what it represents is really a shared vision about what it will take to truly serve our community. And all along, there's been a true commitment that for PDC to reach its mission, for BHCD to reach its mission, and for NEA to reach our mission, we have to work together, share resources, and really think about new and innovative ways to do this. Several times throughout the process, it's sort of like there's the industry standard and then there's the new path that we're creating together. So I think that's really, really important to recognize and to appreciate. I also want to recognize that these properties represent three memories and three honorings. One is named Nelson Court in honor of Buzz and Joyce Nelson and their 6 children. One is named Tistula Village, which was named after a homeless woman who lost her life in St. John's. And the other village is named Cuyapama, and it really represents another important leader of the Klamath tribe. And so these properties are important in the future stability it will provide for our families, but also important in the long history for our community as well. The other piece I want to say is this project really represents a new way of working together and a deep partnership. It represents retaining an important asset for the Native community that was almost lost, and really a new role for NEA Family Center. But it's really just the beginning. We know that we have a lot of work to do, and I'm really here to celebrate a partnership and a collaborative relationship. Lastly, I want to really thank and honor Eric. I know you've been involved in this project long before. I even lived in Portland and have been advocating for this issue for a long time. And throughout the process, I really appreciated your honesty and your integrity and really your commitment to say, you know, let's do what's really right to keep this for the family. So thank you for that. Thanks.
Thank you. That's all we had, Mayor.
Is there a sign-up sheet?
There was no one else signed up.
Okay. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Seltzman?
Well, good work to NIA and BACD, PDC, and Commissioner Sten for preserving this affordable housing. Aye.
Sten?
Aye. Glad we got this one done. Aye.
Potter?
I want to thank NIA and all the folks who participated in this, the both housing and legal services at PDC for making it work. And for all the folks who are going to be benefiting from this, as Nicole said, there's still a lot of work to do to ensure that more of our native community has adequate housing. So it's a good start. Aye. Please read the 10 p.m. time certain.
Item 413, accept the recommendations of the Schools, Families, Housing, Community Grants Proposal Review Committee.
Mr. Stinn.
Great. Thanks, Mayor Potter. You'll recall, as everybody does, we, as a council, started the Schools, Families, Housing Initiative about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago. And it's the school family housing is really almost a movement, I think, to try and get community work, housing policy, and schools to work better together. We do lots and lots of good things, but often don't link them together. And I think as we noted with the decision, the unanimous decision to invest some money from the River District and David Douglas schools, what happens throughout the city affects each part. And we also see, and this was, I think, the light that went on that maybe should have went on even sooner, but went on a couple of years ago, that our housing investments and strategies probably have more to do with the patterns in enrollment than we ever would have thought. And so, for example, the Portland Public School District continues to lose students and is sometimes in danger of closing schools, while David Douglas, which is entirely in the city school limits, is coming apart at the seams with too many kids. And the council has argued, and I think correctly, that that's primarily because of housing costs, not because of choice or anything else, not that people don't choose both school districts and the other three in the city, because they certainly do. And so what we've tried to do is ignite some community thinking, because how to take on these issues is not immediately obvious, create some excitement, and also to try some new strategies. So other parts of the School Family Housing Initiative include a trial rent assistance program, where we're targeting some of the rent assistance dollars that we had into schools that are experiencing 60% turnover from September to May to see if we can't slow that down. We've targeted some of the home ownership dollars around schools that are losing enrollment to try and get families, particularly families of color, a chance to stay in their neighborhood. That all seems to be working pretty well. And the one that was the most, you know, I think broad, but I think perhaps the most intriguing to the council is we started forward a small grant program to see basically, okay, I think we all get what we're trying to do with school family housing, but I'm not sure we actually know how to do it, because if we did, it would be done. And so we went out to the greater community and said, why don't you propose innovative projects to try and make this link in, on the ground in reality between schools and housing and community development? And partnered with the Portland School Foundation, and we've got seven grants to give away today. It's our first round. Because it was so new, and I'll say on the front end what I was going to say near the end, we decided to give about half the money away, get this some excitement going around this announcement today, and there'll be a second round of grants that are due May 15th. So the idea is hopefully that this round of conversation will also catch people's imagination, and we'll see another round come in to be given out in June. And also I'll say what I was going to say later, which is with me leaving, Mayor Potter has not graciously, but I think enthusiastically assigned his staff to step in and run this program. So I'm very excited that it will keep going, and he will be in charge of making sure this grant money is spent well. So let me, we think we've got about 200 families, 250 families that will affect about 400 youth in three of the school districts. We have representatives here from three of the seven award winners. We had 37 applicants altogether, and we were able only to choose seven, and it was one of those rare cases where the feedback I got from the review committee was that just about every application was really worthy of funding, but so these were really the top seven. What we really then kind of did as our screen is to make sure that all of these things are not startups. They build on existing efforts and will leverage something this summer. So we expect to see things happening this summer in the communities, and I think it also fits nicely with the council strategy led by Commissioner Saltzman to have more youth activities this summer. So today we're going to hear from Kristen Trainer from Human Solutions, the Somali Resource Program, which helps Somali immigrant families connect to school housing and English as a second language. Kathy Keim Robinson and Bob Grovenberg from Park Grove School District on Project Rebound, which will be a program this summer to provide homeless or high school students with paid jobs mentoring elementary students. So the high school students will help the kids in the neighborhood and get stable that way. And we'll hear from John Keating from the Housing Authority of Portland's Academic Achievement and Community Engagement Initiative, which will be a summer program tied into the Hope 6 project in the Humboldt neighborhood. So I wanted to invite Tripp Somerville up from the foundation, who's been our leader and guide in trying to figure all this out. And he was going to introduce the grant programs and give us a few thoughts on how things are going with the School Family Housing Initiative. Tripp.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Sen. I'm Tripp Somerville with the Portland Schools Foundation. Thanks to the full council for really launching what's been a key partnership. I want to echo a little bit about what Nicole said earlier. This school's family housing effort that we've been a part of has really been an ideal collaboration with the city. The city staff at BHCD has weighed in and has been shoulder to shoulder with us. Commissioner Sten's office has acted in the same kind of heroic manner. So we're very excited about this partnership. The grants are one stream of schools' family housing, and they're designed to do really one simple thing, which is how can we attract and keep more families in this city to make sure that it's family-friendly, that it continues to reflect the complexity and richness of the ethnic array and allows people of all incomes to continue to be a part of this great place. So we had $2.2 million in requests for this small grant pool. We, after three levels of review by our organization with a final approval from our board of directors, have made grants to $425,000 worth of projects for seven. We have three representatives from organizations here today to talk about this, to give you a little human context, because we often get caught up in all this policy talk about how we're going to change the world, and really it comes down to the people that we're working with every day. And so I'd like to just invite up three representatives from the projects to just talk very briefly about what we're trying to accomplish here together. First, from Park Rose School District, Kathy Keem Robinson has brought two young people with her who are involved in this work, Austin Crumbly and Raven Smith. And I'd like to just ask them to come up and say a few words right now.
Hello, my name is Austin Crumbly. I am a senior, former student of Park Rose High School. I just want to start out by saying thank you very, very much for this opportunity. I moved down here just a year ago from Texas, and I have been through many things. I've experienced many things through many kids down here. First of all, I've gone to a lot of kids' houses, you know, experiencing what their families are like and what they're going through, you know, makes it really hard for kids at the Park Rose High School that I'm attending right now. It makes it very hard for them to focus on school because they have so many family issues, financial issues, and stuff like that. And I know that this program, not only because people don't know much of it yet, but when they do know it, I believe that it will make a big change as far as Park Rose High School and the community, because people are lacking in these areas of being able to pass classes and get credits and stuff like that. And I know that this program is going to help out financially because it gives them opportunity to make money, a social advantage, you know, helps them get more social with the community people, teaches them to learn to talk better, you know, just kind of gives them a better personality in a way. And so I just really just want to say thank you very much for this opportunity. I know it's going to help out a lot of people. So thank you so much.
My name is Raven Smith. I'm currently attending Park Rose High School as a junior. This program will put a lot of hope in some kids, just sort of lift their heads up and give them a chance to get over some things that are going on at home. It'll put some, like, a little bit more of some payback in the community, giving them more of what to do, and they'll have time to just, you know, reflect on what they want to do sometimes and get focused on what they're ready to do later on, and give them an opportunity to see that they can help someone else at the same time. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm Kathy Keim Robinson, Director of Student Services in Park Rose School District, and I'm very excited. We're grateful that we will be able to put this project into action this summer, building on an elementary program that we've had for several years. I think the most exciting part of the program is the element that will be able to provide actual paid jobs as youth mentors from some of our at-risk high school students to be able to be in a role, as you just heard from these two eloquent folks, to be able to serve elementary students and be true leaders. So we're very appreciative. We are looking forward to this being something that we'll be able to continue and grow in our area in Park Rose. Thank you.
Thanks, folks.
Thank you. And then we also have Gene DeMaster and Doreen Warner from Human Solutions, which is doing some pathbreaking work with Somali families in East Portland, and John Keating from the Housing Authority, who's promised an interpretive dance presentation, but I don't know that we have enough time to complete that today.
Hi, I'm Jean DeMaster from Human